This morning we looked at the great promise that God gives to those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. There is no such thing as one who is called according to His purpose that does not love Him. Those things come together. And the wondrousness of God's love is drawing love. It's powerful force through the work of God's Holy Spirit that draws us unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And coming to realize the wondrousness of divine grace and mercy, there can only come a response of love from the understanding being drawn from and born of that sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love of God that's made known in the cross, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the wondrous word that God has revealed and given unto us in the Scriptures. Those who love God have the promise that all things work together for good. That's a wondrous promise that we looked at this morning, that says that all things, whether they be things that would in themselves be good or bad, whether they be things that to our sight would appear to make sense or to make no sense, all things under God's sovereign will are made to work together for the good of those who are called according to His purpose, and they are called to be among those who come to love God. Only those who are redeemed, regenerate, and who are in Christ love God in the biblical sense of loving God. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 14, we're going to look at a verse of Scripture here that is really given us as that which explains something. And we're going to be looking at verse 21 of John 14. But before we do, and I'll read a little larger context, join me in prayer. Father, we do thank Thee for Thy Word. And blessed Savior, as we come to open this truth, we pray that Thou wouldest teach us by Thy Holy Spirit, the very one in the context of the passage to which we look must guide us into Thy truth. We do ask that Thou wouldest enable us to recognize in ourselves what we read here in this passage. And that, blessed Savior, we would, in the embrace of the wondrousness of Thy love, come to know how we manifest ours to Thee. And may it be so done by Thy grace, by Thy mercy, for Thy glory, that Thy name would be exalted. And we shall thank Thee, Father, in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." So that we understand that the keeping of the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ come out of this wondrousness of loving Him. Loving Him, the Lord Jesus made very clearly known in Scripture, is to love Him above all, above everything, above anything. Greater than you love your wife or your husband. Greater love than you have for your son or your daughter. Certainly greater love than for anything in this world. The Lord Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." That last one, "he that taketh not his cross," signifies that you must love the Lord Jesus Christ more than you love yourself. He's worthy of the highest of love, of glory, of honor. He's to have our hearts. If He has your heart, He has your thoughts. He has your desire. He has the way your feet are moved in this world. If you love me, keep my commandments. Then he states this in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And reading on through verse 24, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. In other words, it is the word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ gives unto us. So, what is in Scripture shown to be the evidence, the proof, the sign that one truly loves the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it becomes a very practical one. The practical sign and test that reveals who they are, who are truly in union with the Father and the Son, is shown in those who keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives the commandments, who is He? He, of course, is the living God. And as the incarnate one, He comes to us. And God comes to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the one who is supreme in authority, who says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. His authority is over all things. He is exalted above all principality and power, might and dominion. He is Lord. He is sovereign. He is the one who has the right to command. When He gives us His commandments, He does not, as was given through Moses of old, give commandments so that we may keep them and gain by keeping them eternal life. He's already given that life. That life, by God's grace, comes through Him and His cross, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. God has given a free gift. The Lord Jesus Christ has given Himself. He has given His Holy Spirit. Everything about our salvation bespeaks gift, not work. And so, if we are going to keep the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to keep those commandments because we are slavishly doing so, fearful that if we fail in some small detail, we will miss out on eternal life. That, of course, would belie that we believe, after all, in a works gospel, wouldn't it? Rather, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. This is a description. This is giving a description of those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not a doctrinal test. It is a very practical test that the Lord Jesus gives here. It is love that is the cement of the union between Christ and His own. And if you don't believe that, if you know the nature of the Song of Solomon, read the Song of Solomon, relate it to Christ and His church, and you'll find out it is love that cements this relationship together. And if this love is real, the Lord Jesus says, if it's real in you and me, it'll make it known. It'll become known in one true way. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. No matter how much one knows, no matter how much they think they know, no matter how lofty one may speak of loving Christ, however passionate they may be, however deep they may think their love to be, if it fails of obedience to Christ, is it love? If it fails in obedience to Christ, does it have Him as center or self as center? If it fails in obedience to Christ, it is a love in word and tongue, but not in deed and in truth. The Lord begins with the person before the action. He. And then He points to the one main characteristic of the person who truly loves Him. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. Do you know what I believe firmly? I believe that one act of obedience to Christ, performed against all the resistance of the flesh, of sin and the world, that all the resistance that could come against it, and yet that one obedience, that one act of obedience, is far greater evidence of true love to Christ than all the eloquent words that could be framed and spoken to express it. And oh, they're eloquent words. You read the Christian poets as if God had given them such a wondrous heart for the Lord Jesus Christ that flows forth beautiful words indeed. And the hymn writers, we sing the precious hymns that bespeak the wonders of God's redeeming grace and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're wonderful indeed, and we love to sing them. But we can know all these things, and we can sing all these hymns, and we could frame the most eloquent words that you could imagine, and yet if there is not obedience to Christ, there's no love to Him. All the talk about needing to plow a field. You don't have many farmers, but anyway, you'll maybe understand this. All the talk about needing to plow a field and all the knowledge of how to plant, how to cultivate, what time of year to plant what kind of ground that must be used, how long it must lie dormant before it is replowed, all the nutrients that must go into the soil, everything that's known about planting and plowing and cultivating. Would it bring forth a single grain without the simple putting of the hands to the plow? What would it mean if someone didn't get on the tractor and begin plowing? One act of obedience bespeaks when it's against all that opposes it. One act of true obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. One identification of Him in this world. One opening of the lips to glorify His name where it is known it will bring tension. One going against the grain of what the world accepts and says, no, this is not the will of my Lord Jesus Christ. One bold act of obedience bespeaks more of a true heart for Christ than all of the words that could ever be framed to declare one's love for Him. The Lord says essentially the same as He'd said before in verse 15 when He says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. But there's a difference. There's kind of a reversal here. Our text goes from the fruit to demonstrate the existence of the root, While before, the Lord started with the root, which springs into fruit. You got that down pat, didn't you? In the first, love is put forth as the cause of obedience. It is love that brings forth the obedience. While here, it is the certain fruit of love. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Notice further that if genuine and supreme love exists for Christ, then it must first know and embrace his commandments in order to do them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You see, to have his commandments in possession is a sign of love to him. Because love possesses the knowledge of his will. Love possesses the knowledge of the one who is loved. It desires to know what pleases that one who is loved. It desires to want to be there to do whatever the bidding of that one is. So, we learn first of his love to us. We embrace that love. And it is made known to us in the highest way possible. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is not that which grabbed your heart in the early days of conversion, when salvation was brought to your lost soul, and you began to realize what God had done for you and his Son? That he gave himself for you. That he drank to the last drop all the bitter dregs of the cup of God's wrath and did it on your behalf. That he who came from the ivory palaces of glory came into this world to make himself of no reputation, to become your servant. Wait! He's Lord of all. He's the second person of the triune Godhead. He is the one who commanded, and the universe stood fast, is he not? Indeed he is. And yet he came, and he gave himself for you. What a gift. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What riches? What are our riches? They're all found in him, are they not? Unsearchable riches that we shall not be able to fully mine for eternity. What a wondrous thing. We embrace his love. We have heard and believe that God, the love that God hath to us, and it's all manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if embraced in truth, we love him who first loved us. He made himself known to us. We saw him. We saw him dying. We bowed at the foot of the cross. We gave up. No, it's not my works, not my will, not my merit. I'm nothing but vile in the sight of a holy God. But this one took my place. Died for my sins, redeemed me with his own precious blood. You tell me, is it possible not to love one who makes himself known to you in redeeming love and grace? Then that love moves us to learn more and more of him. And it moves the heart to cry, Lord, what wouldest thou have me to do? I believe that ought to begin in some way the prayer every day we get up, don't you? Lord, I don't belong to myself. I'm bought with your blood. I'm redeemed by your blood. I belong to you. I'm not my own. I don't want to be my own. What wouldest thou have me to do? What is thy will for me for this day? Surely, in coming to know him, we came to bow our wills to his, did we not? God worked in us so that we became willing to walk in His will. Then there are two ways that we have His commandments. If you're going to keep and do His will, you're going to have to know it, right? You're going to have to know His will. There are two ways of having His commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Well, you have them in the Bible. You have them clearly taught in Holy Scripture. What a wondrous treasure and gift God has given us in His Word. We have what the Lord commands in His Word. We have what He commands personally, or what He commanded personally. We have what He commanded through the apostles, what He gives through the writing of the Word of God. As the Apostle Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. We have them in the epistles. We have them in the book of Revelation, do we not? All throughout it speaks of His commandments. We have His commandments given us in His Word. You have them in the Bible. You have them clearly taught in the Bible. But if true love exists for Christ, where else are they going to be? Where are they going to be hidden? Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. You see, we get in this Word, we get, whether you go and read the Old Testament Scriptures or the New Testament Scriptures, when it comes from a knowledge of Christ and a wondrousness of who He is and the glories that begin to expand by His redemption and through the cross, we begin to see Him everywhere. If you love Him, how is it possible not to love His Word? We love His Word. And then we find, this is my beloved. This is my head. This is my sovereign. This is my Lord. I want to hear His Word. I want to know His Word. I seek to know His commandments. I want to walk in His ways. In order to do that, I have to know them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So you begin looking day by day. You begin opening the Scriptures. How is it? Is it possible for one who is a true child of God to just let the Scriptures lie closed? No. We want to know His Word. We want to daily seek Him. We want to prayerfully open the Word of God and spend our most precious time in His Word, learning of Him, learning of His will, and crying out, it is the voice of my beloved. And if it be the voice of your beloved, then you're going to seek to know His will. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Christ regards as real the love that not only learns His commandments, but loves His commandments and puts them in the heart. For what purpose? To obey them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Such a love for Christ that is true, that has His commandments and constantly keeps them, carries a special divine blessing, and a blessing that can come no other way. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So here we learn that the Father considers supreme love for Christ the very same as supreme love for Him, doesn't He? The very same love for Christ is the love for the Father. So, the Father is so pleased with the love that we have for the Son that he counts that as equivalent as love to himself. That's a fulfilling of the law. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And when we love Christ, we love God. And the more we come to love Him, the more the Father is pleased with that love, and we love the Father with the same love. We love God. And the Father counts it so. And this is so well pleasing to Him that He pronounces a tremendous blessing and benediction to those who indeed truly love Him. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Of course, we know that we could never love him without coming first to know that he loved us before ever we knew him, before ever we loved him. The Sovereign Grace Messenger, which I'm in the process now working on, it shouldn't be too long before it's finished. I did write an article, which I don't always do, usually write an editorial, but I did write an article for this issue. It's titled Chosen in Christ. And in that, well, this issue of the Sovereign Grace Messenger is all about sovereign grace this time. It's about the sovereign grace of God. And chosen in Christ. And the wondrousness that God had a special love, a distinct and distinguishing love that He set upon His elect in Christ before the world began. That means that God loved us with what kind of love? Everlasting love. He didn't set His love upon us because we did some good, because we were just as corrupt and vile as anybody that ever walked the face of the earth, right? Even as others. As the apostle would say in Ephesians 2. He loved us simply the same way that we read in Deuteronomy 7 about the children of Israel, because He loved them. That is, He brought them into a covenantal relationship with Himself that He didn't have with the other nations of the earth. Not because they were good people. Matter of fact, He said, what kind of people were they? Stiff-necked. Stiff-necked people. In other words, they were rebellious against God, hardened their hearts. And yet, He had a sovereign love that He bestowed. For the love He bestows upon us is sovereign. It comes from Him. It doesn't have a thing to do with anything that we merit. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. We merit His wrath. But glory to God in choosing us in Christ and tying us all up with His redemption, with the cross. And God looked at us in Christ and at the cross. Justice smiles and asks no more. God brings us to Himself through Christ. We come to know the wondrousness of this love. If you ever come to really lay hold of this love, and you come to see its wondrous demonstration, and you come to feel its pulse in your very being, when God the Holy Spirit comes in convicting power to call you out of this world unto Himself in Christ, that becomes the reality. There's no way you're not going to love this one who came to save you and want to be His. And give yourself up to Him. Because He loved you before ever you knew Him or loved you. The Lord is not here in verse 21 speaking of the way or process by which we come to know His love, though. And then love Him responsibly. Rather, the process by which we grow in the possession of this love. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. As has been said, the depths of his heart and the secret, sacred favors of his grace can only be bestowed upon those who in some measure are conformed and are growingly being conformed to his likeness in Jesus Christ and who love and obey him. In this time, while we reside in the world, the Lord promises to make his love and himself known to us and to be present with us if we be among those who prove their love to him in having and keeping his commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In the course of obedience, when even weak brethren turned from Paul the Apostle, while under persecution for obedience to his Lord, what could he write? Sweet words. All men forsook me. I pray God that it be not laid to their charge. Nevertheless, I love God's neverthelesses, don't you? And I love those words that are followed by but God. And the words nevertheless. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He knew his presence. He knew the sweetness of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that he was with him. And when you stand, let me tell you something, when you take a bold stand for Christ and you walk in accordance to his word, when you obey his truth, when your heart is desirous that you be a light and testimony in this world and its darkness is on every hand, and when you become a light in truth, you're going to cause a little bit of pain like an eye coming out of a dark cavern that sees the light squints. The light's going to hurt the darkness of the world. You're going to have to expect that. And when that happens, rejoice. When you find men frowning, does it not make all the difference to know that your Lord is smiling and that you may have fellowship with him and walk with him? Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. When the Lord himself, and not desires for more of this world, has our heart and our obedience, we will realize what he said by such a faith that will increase in us and know that he is present. Let your conversation, that old English word conversation, had to do with the whole of the one way or the way one conducts their whole life in this world, speech, work, everything they do, character. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Isn't that a wondrous passage? That's a glorious passage. If we have him, what do we have? Everything. If we have not him, what do we really have? Nothing. He that hath the Son hath life. With all of its fullness, all of its richness, all of its trueness, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And the Lord says, I'm going to make myself known to those who have my commandments and keep them. There's going to be a sweetness of blessed communion. You're going to be able to come and commune with your Lord and say, Lord, I sure do love you. And I never would have come to love you. I never would have come to behold the wonders of your your grace had not I come to taste of your love and your goodness and your kindness and taste and see that thou art good. My blessing has come by tasting and finding that to be so. And Lord, I want you to have me. I want you to have my heart. I want you to have all of me. I belong to you. How precious he becomes. How precious when he comes and makes himself known. When we say no to those things we know that are wrong, that would bring dishonor to the name of our Lord. And when we walk in that way, that is truly to bring glory and honor to his holy name in everything that we do, we're going to know the sweetness of his presence, his grace, his mercy. Ever through the Word and by the Holy Spirit, the Lord will make himself known to us if we love him and obey him, and we'll come to know him in greater measure. So I'm going to conclude by quoting from an old preacher who died long ago. But he knows more about that love now than he knew then. If any man wills to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, and if touched by his divine love and infinite sacrifice for me, I cast my poor self upon him and try to love him back again and to keep his commandments because I love, then day by day I shall realize more and more of his strong, immortal, all-satisfying love and see more and more deeply into that Savior whose infinite beauties remain unrevealed after all revelation, and to know more and more of whom shall be the heaven of heavens yonder. Not what, but whom shall be the heaven of heavens yonder. As it is the joy and life of the soul here. The Lord Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And it's all in him. May God bless the ministry of his holy word.